Welcome to all those joining us for the Likutei Moran Shir. We've had a hayas for a while. I was away in America and in Oman after that, and Baruch Hashem, we're continuing. Today we begin chapter 17 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Before we begin, we dedicate the Shir today, Le'ilo Nishmas, Bahia Bas Latifa, the mother of David Asulin and Max Asulin and Freddie Asulin, who are among the first and outstanding students of my Rebbe, my father-in-law, Rabbi Rosenfeld, in the Syrian community. She had a tremendous love and respect for Torah, and there was a time that the shiurim, the classes, were being given in her home, and she would always be in the kitchen as a means of being able to listen to the shiur that was being given at that time for a group of men. Her neshama should have an aliyah, and the shiur is also Le'ilo Nishmas Sara Bas Iser Ber, the mother of David Hall, whose yard site will be tonight, Amir Hashem, on the 10th of Nisan. This chapter of Likutei Moran is divided into two parts. In the first part, Rabbi Nizal speaks about Shabbos, about how special Shabbos is, and in the second part, he speaks about seeing the good in every person. Tzorech li zoher ma'oid lihiyoy sameach v'toiv leiv b'Shabbos. A person has to be very careful to be happy and full of joy in their heart on Shabbos. Ki mailas ukedushoy Shabbos gedoylo v'yekora moi. Because the benefits, the specialness, and the holiness of Shabbos is very great. Kimuva, as is brought throughout the Torah, ubifrat bereishis chachma. Especially in the Sefer Reishis Chochma, which is one of the famous Sifrei Musar, which was written by the great Rebbe Leo Dividash, who was one of the leading students of the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordoviro. The Sefer Reishis Chochma is a fantastic Sefer of Musar that's divided into Sha'orim, gates, the gate of Yira, the gate of Ahava, the gate of holiness, the gate of humility. And in each one, he brings thousands of sources from all over the Torah, from the Gemara, from the Zohar HaKadosh, teaching us the specialness of these good character traits. And there, in the Reishis Chochma, in the section called Shar HaKedusha, the Gate of Holiness, chapter 2, he has a major, major piece about the specialness of Shabbos. Ayin Shom, look over there, study it. V'roi v'nochoin lilmoid bereishis chochma b'shar hanal. Rabbi Nizal writes that it's very proper and fitting for us to study the Sefer Reishis Chochma, specifically that section, the Shar HaKedusha, Perek Beis, v'losum liboy heitev al kol hadvorim hanemorim shom, and to really pay close attention to everything that's written there Be'inyan Kedushas Umailois Shabbos Kodesh, regarding the holiness and the specialness of Shabbos. Kieshom Kamadvorim Protiim Yekorim Mikdushas Umailois Shabbos. Because there are many specific, valuable points about the holiness and specialness of Shabbos. Ki kol inyan Umaila Hanemar Shom al Shabbos, Hu Dobor Vifnei Atzmoi. And each and every single topic and advantage that's mentioned there related to Shabbos is a separate, unique point. V'hovein shom heitev, and understand very, very well what's written there in the Reishis Chochma, kedei sheyislahev liboy lekabel Shabbos besimcha gedoylo v'atzuma koroi, in order that a person should be inspired and turned on to receive the Shabbos with incredible joy and happiness. Koroi, as is fitting, as is proper. Rabbi Nizal said that he studied this Sefer Reishis Chochma many times in his youth. Validei zeh hayira bishleimus. And Rabbi Nizal says now, to the degree that a person will respect and love the Shabbos and be genuinely happy on Shabbos, to that degree, the person's fear and respect for Hashem will be perfected. Meaning, dahainu imdas, meaning that the fear of Hashem and respect for Hashem will be with intellect. Ki bechoil, because during the 6 days of the week, efshir sheyia hayira im ksilus, it's very possible that a person's fear of Hashem should include silliness. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says in Iyov, halo yiroscha ksilosecho, your fear is your foolishness. Ve'ikar haksilus humachmas hashibud sheyesh bechoil. And Rabbi Nisal explains what causes this foolishness during the 6 days of the week. The fact that during the 6 days of the week, we're in a state of servitude. We're slaves. Ki al yidei hashibud ein hadas sholem. Because when a person is in this type of state of slavery, the person can't think perfectly clearly. Ukamashikosov b'moyov, as the Navi points out regarding the nation of Moyov, Sha'anan Moyov Menaurov, the nation of Moyov was at ease from their early years, from their youth, Uvagoilo Loiholach, because they never experienced going into exile. Alkain Omad Tamoy Boy, and therefore their flavor, their intellect, remained strong. Ukamosham Rabbi Senuzal, as the Gemara points out in Megillah, Kalidei Shibud Vigolus Hadas Mevulvo, that when a person is in a state of slavery, working very hard, and they're in exile, their intellect isn't really working clearly. The person is in a state of confusion. There the Gemara talks about Achashverosh, when his wife Vashti refused to comply with his instructions. Achashverosh was looking to his advisors to tell him what to do. So first he asked his Jewish advisors, and they understood that whatever they say here, they'll get in trouble. If they tell him to kill Vashti, he'll wake up the next day, he'll miss her, he'll want to kill them. And if they tell him not to kill her, he'll say, you don't care about my honor, and he'll kill them for that. So they TO'd. They passed it on. They said, because we, the Jewish people, are in exile, and we're in a state of servitude and slavery, we can't really think clearly, and therefore we can't really give you the right advice. Why don't you consult with Moyav? They'll be able to give you better advice. Aval b'Shabbos hu cheirus. Whereas on Shabbos, we're not working. We're not in that state of avdus. The Torah says, sheshes yomim ta'avoid. 6 days a week you will work. The word ta'avoid means to work. And the word ta'avoid is also miloshen eved. We're in a state of slavery. But on Shabbos, there's freedom. U'kesheyesh cheirus ve'ein shibud v'golus, azai hadas sholim kanal. And when there's freedom, when there's no slavery or exile, then the person's intellect is solid. Ve'ikar hacherus al yedei hatainug v'hasimcha shel Shabbos. And the real freedom a Jew can experience through the pleasure and joy of Shabbos. Bechinas oz tisanag al Hashem. As the pasuk says, then on Shabbos you will rejoice, you will delight upon Hashem. Hanemar b'Shabbos, vayidezeh nasecherus. And through this oineg, through this pleasure and happiness, there's a feeling of freedom. Bibchinas ki besimcha seitzeyu. As the pasuk says, with simcha, with joy, you will exit, you'll go out, you'll go out of exile, you'll go out of that slavery, that servitude. Shayde simcha yoitzin lecherus. Through simcha, a person goes out to freedom. And when there's freedom, then the person's thinking clearly, and then the yira can be combined with das, with real sechel. U'kesheyesh cherus, and when there's this freedom, hadas b'shleimus, v'das, the sechel is complete, v'azai hayira koroi, And then the yira is a proper yira. It's a wholesome yira combined with das. Bibichinas, as the Tikkuni Zohar says, that the first word in the Torah, the word Bereshis, is composed of two words, Yorei Shabbos. That the yira of Shabbos Kodesh, ki oz hayira balik silus sheyesh bimei achol, because on Shabbos, the fear and respect for Hashem is without any foolishness that we experience during the weekdays. Ki ikarak silus machmas hashibud, uboze malin hayirois hanefulois. And Rabbi Nizal says, through this, through the joy and happiness of Shabbos, and the respect for Hashem that comes from that, a respect that's combined with Das, through this, we elevate all of the fallen fears. What do we mean by fallen fears? Haynu ma sheyireim lefomem misar ukedoyme. This that people occasionally feel afraid of an officer of the king, or the IRS, or any other things that impose fear on a person. Because through das, through proper seichel, a person elevates those fallen yiras and plugs them into Hashem. Ve'ikra das hu b'Shabbos, and the real das is on Shabbos. Al yidei asimcha, through the joy and happiness. Shaydei ze yesh cheirus, by which we achieve freedom. Vazai hadas b'shleimos. And then the das is perfect. In other places in Likut Imran, Rabbi Nisal quotes the pasuk, V'nishmas shakai tevinim. The heavenly soul gives them understanding, tevuna. And Rabbi Nisal quotes it related to Shabbos, that on Shabbos, because besides the usual soul that we have throughout the weekdays, a person gets an additional soul. And that additional soul gives us additional seichel. V'haklal, therefore, to summarize what we're saying here, shetzorich linhoik simcha gedoyla b'Shabbos Kodesh. A Jew has to conduct themselves with major joy and happiness on Shabbos. V'levli laharois shum atzvus v'daigo klal. Never showing any worries or any depression. Rak lehisaneg al Hashem, only to delight in Hashem. Ulaharbois betanuge Shabbos bechol minei tanug, and to try to bring into the house on Shabbos all types of pleasure. Hein achilu shtia, whether it's in food and drink, to bring foods and drinks into the home that the family will enjoy, that'll bring simcha to the family. Hein malbushim, and so too regarding clothing, wearing clothing that puts a person in a happy frame of mind. Kifi ma sheyochol, according to what a person can afford. Ki achilas Shabbos hi kula ruchnius, kula kodesh, because the eating that we do on Shabbos is 100% spiritual, holy. Va'oila lamokam achar legamri min achilas choil, and it goes to a different place completely than the food that we eat during the weekdays. Kimavur b'mokam acher, as Rabbi Nizal discusses this in other places, in chapter 57, in the first part of Likut Imran, and in chapter 277, and as discussed throughout the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that during the 6 days of the week, any pleasure or enjoyment that the person gets from the food or drink itself remains with the person. It remains physical, materialistic. When a person makes a bracha on food, the bracha that the person makes before eating or after eating, before drinking, after drinking, that bracha connects the person to Hashem. That bracha is spiritual, and that connects the person and the food to Hashem. Whereas on Shabbos, not only the bracha, but the food itself, the actual food that we're eating, any pleasure or joy that we get from the food that we're eating on Shabbos, that pleasure also connects the person to Hashem. That pleasure is a spiritual pleasure. This is the first part of this chapter, and the second part seems to be unrelated. It's possible that Rabbeinu Zal said these two thoughts close to each other, and this is why Rav Nosson Zal combined them in one Torah. We don't really see openly the connection, although we'll try to see together things that we can find that relate the first part of this Torah to the second part. Derech Hashem Yisborach lahabit al hatoivoy shoisen. It's Hashem's derech, Hashem's way is to look at the good which people perform. V'af shenimtza bohem gam kein ma she'enoy toiv, even though there are things in there that are not so good, einoy mistakel al zeh. Hashem does not pay any attention to that. Kama shekosuv, as it says clearly in the pasuk, loy hibit oven beYaakov. Hashem does not look at the faults, the flaws, the wickedness in the Jewish nation. Mikol shgein sheho odom osir lahabit al chaveroy l'ro. Limtza boi davka ma she'enoy toiv. If that's Hashem who is perfect, and Hashem does not look for perfection in us, Hashem knows we're not perfect, and He focuses His attention on the good in us, how much more so a human being is not allowed to look at their fellow Jew, to look to find the faults in them, what's not good about them. Ulechapes limtzoi pigomim bavoides chaveroi. To look to find faults in the manner that his fellow Jew serves Hashem. Rak adarabah, but rather just the opposite. Mechuyov lahabit rak al hatoiv. We are obligated to focus only on the good. V'lozeh toiva gedoyla sheyesh teva v'hashkocha. And Rav Nosson Zal says, based on this, we'll understand very well why it's a tremendous benefit to us that Hashem has two ways of conducting Himself. Sometimes Hashem allows nature to control things, and sometimes Hashem intercedes. He turns off the autopilot, and He grabs the steering wheel, and Hashem takes full control. That's called Hashgacha, where it's clear and obvious that Hashem is using His divine providence to directly supervise everything that's going on. Because when a person is doing good, then Hashem directs that person's life with Hashem's direct supervision. And when the person is not behaving properly, when the person's committing sins and wrongdoings, if Hashem were directing that person's life through Hashem's direct hands-on supervision, that person would not be able to receive any blessing, any goodness from Hashem. So what does Hashem do instead? Azai maniachoisoy al hateva. Hashem changes the channel for that person. Hashem puts that person on plan B. He puts the person on nature. He connects that person. He plugs him into nature. And then, then it's quite possible that that person will receive parnasa, livelihood, or health, or other things based on the dictates of nature. As long as the person is dressing properly, they don't go out in the cold without a jacket or a scarf, and they're eating properly, in other words, they're conforming to the laws of nature, and they work to earn money, so by natural means, the person can be able to receive what they need. If Hashem only control the world by Hashgacha, by Hashem's direct hands-on supervision, it would be possible for the Hashgacha to be eliminated, removed completely from that person. How? Shein Odom Isnai Koroi, because when Hashem would see that the person is not conducting themselves properly, Hashem would get angry, and Hashem would disconnect his supervision from that person totally. But now, based on the fact that there's hashgacha and there's teva, when the person's misbehaving, Hashem changes the channel temporarily and puts that person on plan B, on teva. And when the person repents, when the person does tshuva, mashgiach alav, Hashem changes the channel back, and Hashem is supervising directly with divine providence everything related to that person. Now Rabbeinu Zalai is, ube'emes einonu yecholin lohovin mahu teva v'hashgacha. The truth is, we cannot really understand what's teva and what's hashgacha. Ki be'emes, gam hateva hi hashgachos yisborach. Because nature is also directly under the supervision of Hashem, being controlled 100% by Hashem. The Arizal says, in fact, that the word hateva is bigimatria Elohim, viz Hashem's name. And therefore, it's something that's impossible for us, a human being, to be able to understand this paradox. Nature, which is really and actually divine providence of Hashem. This is a topic that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about in several chapters in Likutei Moran, and there's tens or maybe hundreds of pages in Likutei Halachos on the topic of teva and hashgacha. There are times when things seem to be going along in a natural way. We call that teva. When it's clearly obvious to us that things are going in an unnatural way, totally not following the laws of nature, we refer to that as an outstanding example of hashgacha. And a perfect example of this is the holidays. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in chapter 7 in the second half of Likutei Moran, where he says that the holidays are referred to as Mikroi Kodesh. They proclaim the holiness of Hashem by the fact that on each one of these holidays we're remembering, we're commemorating miracles, clear, obvious miracles that Hashem performed on our behalf. On Pesach, it's the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the plagues that were inflicted on the Egyptians, and the miracles of the splitting of the Red Sea. On Shavuos, it's all the miracles that took place at Har Sinai, when the Jews received the Torah there, that they were able to see sound, and everyone was cured. Anyone who was blind or couldn't hear or could were all cured suddenly and immediately on the spot over there on Mount Sinai. And Sukkos, we're remembering those seven miracle clouds that traveled with the Jews throughout the time in the desert, which tailored and laundered our clothing, which flattened mountains and lifted up valleys to make it easier for us to travel through the wilderness on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Any questions, please?
The opening statement was, Hashem only lehibidavim beyakev. Hashem is not looking at any of the Einei Tov. But then in the second paragraph, it seems like it switches and it says, right, that there's going to be this removal of hashgacha. We're going to move from hashgacha to teva. So I don't really understand the first paragraph, this idea that Hashem is not looking at the Einei Tov.
We could compare this to a parent. Sometimes a parent has a child who does good things, and sometimes the child is not doing good things, doing things that are not good. Sometimes when a child is doing something wrong, a parent makes it clear to the child, I see exactly what you're doing and you're going to pay for that. And sometimes a parent can choose to look away, to make it seem as if the parent doesn't see. And that's what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to here. That in terms of the habata, the direct look of Hashem, where Hashem makes it clear to us that He's watching every move we make, there Hashem is looking for the good, and He's looking only at the good. When Chas v'Shalom, we're misbehaving, it appears as if Hashem is not looking. Why? Because we don't see those miracles. We don't. But yet, a person could still have money, health, food, all kinds. So where is it coming from? The answer is, if Hashem is not looking, if Hashem is not watching over us directly, the answer is that when Hashem is not watching us over us directly, there's another channel by which a person could be receiving the flow. And that channel is called Teva, nature.
I think that the way that we definitely learn is that ultimately, in the long run, we pay a little bit of a heavier price for that because, I mean, yesh din v'yesh tayin. So, I mean, is that a good thing?
What you're saying is correct. And that's why, if you recall, I mentioned that the word hateva is bigimatria Elokim. We know that Elokim is the name of Hashem for judgment. Judgment, constriction. Elokim represents the left side. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Chesed, the right side. Elokim is Midas Hadin, judgment. So in a way, normally, usually, we look at it as being terrible. We say to Hashem, Penei Elai V'choneini. Hashem, please turn to me. Please look at me. Yisa Hashem Ponov Eilecha V'yosem L'chasholem. We're always asking Hashem to face us. But in this chapter on Likud Imran, Rabbeinu Zal's revealing to us a secret that you should know there is a certain benefit in the fact that when we're misbehaving, that Hashem chooses not to see, not to look as strongly as He's usually looking. Because if He did look the way He usually looks, we could be finished. We could be disconnected, chas v'shalom, permanently. And this way, it's a temporary, it's like a person putting a person's driving on a highway and they put the car on cruise for a certain period of time that they don't want to be hands-on. They see that there's a certain stretch that's going to go a certain way and the cruise control can handle that. But then if the moment they see any change, right away they know they have to step in and take over again. In this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal showed us that there is a certain benefit, because were it not this way, in some ways we could be worse off. It could be a permanent disconnect.
Thank you very much.
Sure. One of the rabbis quoted a sefer that said that teva, another way of looking at teva is a nes tamidi. That what we call nature, that when a husband and wife get married, she can become pregnant, and after 9 months, from this tiny little droplet comes forth an entire human being, a baby that's more complex than all the computers in the world put together. What could be more miraculous than that? So that they refer to Teva as a Nes Tamidi, or a certain Hashkocha Tamidi. But in this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal gave us a certain other way of looking at it. In terms of the connection to Shabbos, the Torah tells us that in terms of Eretz Yisrael versus the rest of the world, the Torah says about Eretz Yisrael, Tomid Einei Hashem Olekecha Bo. The eyes of Hashem are always focused and directed on Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the land of Hashgacha, super Hashgacha, and therefore the land of miracles. Although Rabbeinu Zal points out in another place in Likut Imran that because the Hashgacha is so strong in Eretz Yisrael, that's why we find many times people suffering and having a difficult time in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem responds much more quickly than He does outside of Eretz Yisrael. But in any case, Eretz Yisrael is referred to as the place where the eyes of Hashem are focused upon it versus Chutz Laretz. When we speak about Shabbos versus the 6 days of the week, it parallels Eretz Yisrael. What Eretz Yisrael is in location, Shabbos is in time. And Shabbos is also referred to as the eyes of Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the word Shabbos is made up of two parts. The letter Shin, which has three heads, referring to the three colors of the eye, and Bas refers to the pupil of the eye, which is called Bas Ayin. So Shabbos represents the eyes of Hashem. The eyes of Hashem. Again, that the Hashgacha of Hashem is upon us on Shabbos much more than during the weekdays. That's why on Shabbos we can walk around without a wallet, without a phone, without disconnecting, detaching ourselves from the tools which during the 6 days of the week we think we can't live without it. A person can't live without money, without having any money in your pocket or credit cards or a wallet. And you can't live without a phone, without... And on Shabbos we see that we go above Teva. We go to a place where you don't need a wallet. You don't, you're living better and eating better and dressing better than any day during the week, despite the fact that you've detached yourself from Teva, from all the natural resources, in a sense. Any other questions, please, before we go into the next Torah? Okay, chapter 18, Torah Yud Ches. Sakona gedoylo lihiyois mefursam. It's very dangerous for a person to become famous. Ulahani ka'oila. To become a famous leader of the people. Referring to the Jewish nation, obviously. Loi mi boy kishe'enoi roi klal. It goes without saying that if we're talking about a person who's not qualified at all to be a real leader of Klal Yisrael, veloivesh talis she'enoi shaloi, and the person is assuming a mantle that's not theirs, they're wearing a garment that they're totally unworthy to be wearing, then for sure it's ridiculous and absurd and dangerous. Rakafilu oivdei Hashem be'emes. But even people who are serving Hashem really well, honestly, gedoylei hador, people who are leaders of the generation, yesh aleihem sakonois noirois b'hanhogas olam. They're in major danger when they're leading the world, or when they're in a position of leadership. We know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, horabonus mekaberes es ba'aleho. Leadership, authority, buries the person who possesses it. And the Gemara gives an example. In the case of the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik, all of them outlived him. He passed away the youngest of all of them at the age of 110. And the Gemara says, because of his leadership and authority. But now Rabbeinu Zal gives us another insight into this. Ki ish poshut. Because an ordinary, regular person who's not a major leader, a famous leader, rochoik moid sheyavoy arutzicha. It's very rare for such a person to commit murder. Afilu im eino yish kosher. Even if he's not so religious, ki ein loy taifov is lazer. Because he doesn't really have a desire. Most people don't have a desire to kill. To murder. And even when a person chas v'shalom does feel a desire to kill someone, einoi b'liyodoi, the opportunity doesn't usually present itself. And there are many obstacles preventing the person from actualizing that. And even if the person will go ahead and commit this crime of murder, lo yavler kim le'itim rechoikos. Most people will only do such a thing during rare times. The koroiv shelo yavler rak pam echas kol yomov. Does it once in a lifetime. Aval b'hanhogas ha'olam. But when it comes to leading a large group of people, u'bechidushin doiraiso shemechadshim, and when a person starts speaking about new revelations in Torah that they've come out with, Yecholin Lavler Mamish Gane Venoye Ferotzea Bechol Pam. The person could find themselves violating, stealing, and adultery and murder constantly. Bechol Rega, every moment. Rachmona Litzlan, may Hashem save us from this. Now, interesting to note, Rav Nosson Zal writes that before Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir, he told a story about a gathering that took place in Constantinople, in Turkey, where there was a gathering of many famous figures and leaders. And the host that was hosting these people served a special, special type of bird called ganar to one of the leaders. Another leader who was there at the time, who felt slighted by this, why is he giving it to him? He's a nothing, he's a nobody compared to me, got so angry that Rabbeinu Zal said, as a result of his anger at being slighted in this way, he went ahead and stole and committed murder and also sexual misconduct. And Rabbeinu Zal commented that this wasn't surprising because the word ganar, the name of that bird, that special fowl that was served at this banquet, ganar, makes up the first letters of ganav, noyef, and roitzeach, a thief, an adulterer, and a murderer. And then Rabbeinu Zal went on and gave this shiur. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that a person should try to avoid ehoives hamalacha, enjoy the work, usnoes harabonus, and despise the authority, the leadership, that a person should try whenever possible to avoid taking on any leadership position, becoming a president of an organization or a chairman of the board or a chairman of a committee, all of those things. A person should try whenever possible to avoid that because of the fact that there's tremendous danger and risk involved. These things are associated with malchus. Malchus means kingdom, authority. And the Gemara says, Dina de Malchusa Dina, that Malchus is associated with judgment. When a person's in the spotlight, when a person's showing authority and leadership, they're much more likely to be judged, to be put under the microscope of Hashem, or angels that are watching this person to see who does he think he is, and looking for ways to cause that person, Chas V'Shalom, to fall. So whenever it's possible, a person has to try to avoid that. And even if a person is in a leadership position, there are ways of trying to maintain as low a profile as possible. I remember my rabbi, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Avrocha, in his later years, in his 70s and 80s and early 90s, though that period of about 25 years, when he was the elder in the shul, where he davened in the main shul in Me'er Shorim, the main Breslov shul, whenever he'd be walking into the shul, he would stop at the entrance of the prayer hall to look around to see how to walk to his seat and have to go through as few people as possible so that people shouldn't have to stand up for him. Being based on his age alone, the Torah tells us that a person who's over 70 years old, when such a person is close to you, you're required to show up, to stand up, to show respect. And he would look to see how to go into the shul as quietly as possible, without ruffling feathers, without making any type of commotion. And this was the general behavior throughout that I saw from him, from my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, all of these giants, people who are incredibly respected by those that knew them, and yet they did everything possible to maintain low profile. Any questions, please? Now we go on to the next chapter, which is very powerful, where Rabbeinu Zal is going to speak about the most powerful adversary of the Jewish people, Amalek. And he's going to speak about some of the most important qualities that a Jew can have, and the opposite. Torah Yud-Tes, chapter 19. Iker ha-tachlis v'hashlemus, the ultimate goal of a Jew and the perfection of a Jew, who rak lavoid Hashem b'tmimus gomur b'lishum chochmos klal, is serving Hashem with absolute simplicity, without any unnecessary shrewdness or intellect. Trying to use as much simplicity as possible when I'm serving Hashem, when I'm doing a mitzvah, when I'm praying. Ki yesh mechakrim, because there are philosophers and scientists, she'omrim, who say, she'ikar hatachlis v'ha'olam haba, hurak lodas kol dovor kemois shehu. Their perception is that the most important goal of a person is to understand everything, to know the actual existence of everything. Kegoin, for example, Leida HaKoichov Kamoi Shehu, regarding the stars, to be able to know everything we can possibly know about a star. Leida Mahusoi, to know exactly what it's made up of and what its nature is. Umipnei Ma Oimid Bamokim Hu, and why is the star positioned exactly in that place that it is. And now Rabbeinu Zal goes into detail. Kiyesh Maskil Umuskol V'Seichel. There is the person that knows, that understands. There is the object of that understanding. And there is the knowledge itself, the intellect itself. Dahainu HaKoyach HaMaskil V'Haseichel Bi'Atzmoi V'Hadovor HaMuskol. There is the ability of the person, the one who understands, and there is the understanding of that person, and then there is the thing that they understand. Vezehu hatachlis v'ha'olam habo etzlam. And by these philosophers, these thinkers, these scientists, their perception is that that's the ultimate. Sheyenase echod mehamaskil v'hamuskol v'hasechel. That these three should become one. And these people, these scientists, these philosophers, they spend all their days on this. Lachkoir, in delving philosophically, ulahasig hamuskolos, and to try to understand all of the truths in the world. Shezehu hatachles etzlam. That's what they perceive to be the ultimate. Vezehu biatzmoi ho'olam hapaladatum. And that's what they perceive as the world to come. Those who believe in any concept of a world to come, they think that that's what it's really all about. Rak sheboilam azeh shemolubosh meguf ein lohem tayne kol kach menach hakirois. It's just that while we're living in this physical, materialistic world, and we're living inside of a body, we don't have the full pleasure and joy of this deep philosophical thought. But uba'olam haba, in the world to come, sheyispashtu mi'aguf, when we'll strip away the body, yisangu ma'oid mizeh, that's when we'll really experience this joy. Uladaitum hara, and according to their nefarious ideas, ikar hasogas hatachlis, the ultimate goal to be able to achieve this highest level of knowledge, of understanding everything, the way to get to that is by studying philosophy and all types of secular wisdom, mathematics, engineering, science, music, etc. Avul be'emes, whereas the truth is etzleinu, our truth, the truth of the Torah, and the truth of a religious Jew is that Iker Hasogas Hatachlis Hurak Al Yidei Emuna. The only way a person will really accomplish and attain our ultimate goal is through faith Umitzvois Maisiois, and performing physical mitzvois. Tzitzis, tefillin, observing Shabbos, eating kosher, Lavoid Hashem Al Pi HaTorah, by serving Hashem based on the precepts of the Torah with simplicity and straightforwardness. And it's through this that we'll merit what we're going to merit. We're going to merit the world to come, which is referred to as Ayin Loi Roasa. It's a place that no eye has ever seen. Kama Shekosuv, as it says clearly in Tehillim, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, that the main knowledge, the highest level of knowledge, the beginning of all knowledge, is respect for Hashem. Sheikar Reishis Ukedimas HaChochma Hurak Yiras Hashem. The real beginning and prerequisite to true intellect is respect and fear of Hashem. Shetzorich lahakdim hayiro lahachochma. As it says in Pirkei Avos, a Jew must always put their fear and respect for Hashem before their intellectualizing. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, v'teida, And you should know, she'ein hadovor kedaitom chas v'shalom, that things are not the way these philosophers and scientists think it is. Ki im kein, because based on what they think, lo yasiku hatachlis rak mesei mat mat moid, there would only be very, very few people who could achieve this ultimate goal. Dahainu habalei seichel philosophim, only the great philosophers, they're the only ones who would be accomplishing the ultimate purpose in life. So what would happen to all the regular people, the other 99.9% of the human race, who are not such deep philosophers and deep thinkers, lodas hamuskolos, that they can understand everything in creation, shehem roi ve'ikar oilam, which are the majority and nucleus of the whole world, eich yasigu hemes hatachlis, how would they ever accomplish the ultimate purpose? Avol be'emes, therefore, Rabbi Nizal says, the truth is, the fact is, ikar hasogas hatachlis, hurak alidei tmimus daika. If a person wants to be able to attain that ultimate goal, the way to achieve it is through simplicity. Daika, specifically simplicity. Dahainu, yiras Hashem, respect for Hashem, u'mitzvois maisius, and performing actions of mitzvois, serving one's parents, serving a rabbi, giving charity to the poor, all the examples of mitzvois maisius, bipshitus gomor, with complete simplicity. Vesehu, and this is what Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, writes at the end, the last line, the bottom line of the book of Koheles, which is the book of intellect. He says there, Soif Dovor, the bottom line is, Hakol Nishma, after hearing everything, Esu Alekim Yero, Ves Mitzvois of Shemoyer, Kize Kol Ha'odom. Fear and respect Hashem and observe his mitzvahs, because this is really the ultimate purpose of man. Hainu, what this shows us is, Sheshloimo HaMelech Olav HaSholom, Melamai Desonu, Shloimo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, teaches us, Sheikar HaSogas HaTachlis, that the real attainment of the ultimate goal, Shehu Bechinas Soif Dover, which we refer to as the end, the completion, the ultimate, Hurak Alidei Tmimus Upshitus, can only be attained through simplicity and sincerity. Leyiras Hashem, to fear and respect Hashem, Velishmor Mitzvoisov Bepshitus, and to observe his mitzvois as in, simply as possible. Vezehu soif dovor hakol nishma selukim yirov es mitzvois el shmoyer, shezehu b'chinas tmimus upshitus, liyiras Hashem, ulekayim mitzvoisov be'uvda bepshitus. That's what it's really all about. Fulfilling, respecting Hashem and fulfilling the mitzvahs in action, with simplicity. Vezeh shesiyem kizeh kol ha'odom. And this is why Shlomo HaMelech finishes with the words that this is all of mankind. Hainu, kizeh yochol kol ha'odom l'kayim u'lahasig. This is something that all of mankind can relate to. This is not something that's limited to one in a million people who's a deep philosopher, a deep thinker. Kizeh kol ha'odom. This is something that all of mankind can relate to. And thereby, u'lahasig alidei zeh satarles, and thereby achieve the ultimate purpose of creation. Me'achar she'ikar hu eselekim yireh, since we're saying here that the main thing is respect for Hashem, al kein yochol kol odom lahasig atachlis. Therefore, everyone can attain, can accomplish this goal, ki zeh kol odom yochol kain, because this is something which everyone can accomplish. Now Rabbi Nizal goes on to say, ube'emes, the truth is, who isur godol me'oid lihiyos mechaker chasishon. It is extremely forbidden for a person to be a philosopher, velilmoid sifrei hachochem is chasishon, and to study these books of philosophy that were written by Greek philosophers, the famous ones, or even Jewish philosophers. Rak hatzadik hagodol moed, hu yochoy lahachnis atzmoy bozeh, lilmoed hasheva chochmois. It's only a very great tzadik that can allow himself to immerse himself and study these seven wisdoms, the seven secular wisdoms. Kimi shenichnas betoich hachochmois halolu chas v'sholom, because a person who delves into this type of secular knowledge, especially philosophy, yochol lipol shom, the person can fall, can take a major, major fall in their relationship from Hashem through this. Kiyesh even negef b'chol chochmoch v'chochma, because there is a stumbling block in each one of these wisdoms, shehi bechinas amolek, which is the concept of amolek, shalidei ho'even anegef hazeh, yecholon lipol chasishon, whereby that stumbling block can cause a person to move away, to fall away from Hashem. Ki amolek hoyo filozof u'mechaker, because the Torah tells us that Amalek was steeped in philosophy and he was a major rationalist. The Kofar Be'ikor, he denied the existence of Hashem. Kama Shekosuv, as it says clearly in Parsha Zohar, V'lo Yorei Elokim, that Amalek was all about not fearing Hashem, not respecting Hashem. Dehainu Shehu Rak Noyeg Albi Chochmois, he relies purely on intellect. He only respects intellect, nothing else. The Einlo Yiro Klal, he has no fear or respect for Hashem whatsoever. Avlat Tzadik, Kishenichnas Beilu Hasheva Chochmois, whereas when a tzadik enters into these seven wisdoms, Humachzik Atzmoi, he holds himself strong, connected to Hashem, v'nishar kayom alomdoi, and he remains firmly established in his place, in his position with Hashem, al yidei emuna, by means of faith. Bebchinas, as the pasuk says, v'tzadik be'emunoso yichye, the tzadik lives with his emuna, because the pasuk says in Mishlei, ki sheva yipoil tzadik v'kom. A tzaddik can fall seven times and get up. Haynu shehatzaddik hagodol hoylech derech elu hasheva chochmois. This teaches us that the great tzaddik sometimes goes into these seven chochmois. V'afal pi sheshom yecholin lahachlik v'lipoil al yidei even negef. And even though in those places it's possible for a person to slip and fall, because of the stumbling block that's there, bechinas amolek, avol hatzadik sheva yipoil vakom, but the tzadik can fall seven times and still rise up al yedei emuna, through his faith. V'zeh sheva yipoil tzadik vakom soifei tevois amolek, and this is why if you take a look at this pasuk in Mishlei, where it says speaks about the tzadik falling seven times and rising up, the last letters of this pasuk make up the name Amalek. Shehu ha'even negev, he is this stumbling block. Shel hasheva chochmois, shal yodoi noiflim chasrom, which causes many people who enter into the study of philosophy and other secular wisdoms to fall. Achat tzadik, whereas vi tzadik, sheva yipol v'kom al yidei emuna. He will always, no matter, even if he's going down, he always comes up out of there strong with his emuna. V'zeh shekosu b'Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is why the Torah writes about Moshe Rabbeinu, when he engaged Amalek after the Jews came out of Egypt, and Amalek challenged us, he attacked us. The pasuk says there, Vayehi yodov emuna. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were extended outward in prayer, in a display of faith to Hashem. B'melchemes Amalek, during the battle with Amalek. It's with faith that Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in weakening Amalek, which means these types of false wisdoms and philosophy. This is why the pasuk says, his hands displayed his faith. Yodov hainu bechinas mitzvahs maisius. The hands in this context refer to doing, do it, doing the Torah, giving charity, putting on tzitzis, baking challahs, baking matzahs, all the different physical activities that a person does in the service of Hashem. Shehein bechina semuna, they are a display of a person's faith in Hashem. Kumei shekosuv, as the pasuk says, kol mitzvoisecho emuna. All of your mitzvois are faith. Shalide emuna u mitzvois maisius, shehein hefech bechina samolek, hechli shekanal. It's through faith and by performing physical mitzvois, mitzvois that are performed with the hands and the feet, with a person's body, this helped Moshe Rabbeinu succeed in weakening Amalek. The emuna ze tfila, and faith is synonymous with prayer. K'may shetirgem, as we find the Targum Unkelus on that pasuk, Vayhi Yodav Emuna, says prison bitzloi, his hands were outstretched in prayer. Ki hatfila meshane hateva, because prayer overrides and changes nature. V'nizbatlen hachochmois v'chaschiros, and therefore does away, it overrides the sciences and the philosophy, shehem holchem al pi teva, which follow nature. They are all under the dictates of nature. They don't deviate at all from nature. And tefillah, prayer, takes a person above nature, to faith. We'll hold it over here for now. Emir Tzashem will continue after the holiday of Pesach is over. This coming Sunday, the next Sunday, will be the first of the first days of Pesach. And the week after that, the Sunday after that, will be the second day of the second days of Pesach, Achron Shel Pesach of Chutz Laretz. So Mir Tzashem will have a pause now of 3 weeks. Looking forward to continuing after that. Any questions, please?
When we learn Rabbi Nachman's lesson, it has sections. So are we to take it that between each section enriches the other, and that between different sections we can find the deeper meaning?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you.
They are all connected, and in Likutei Halachos, and in very often Rav Nosson Zal will clarify the connections, show exactly how the connections work, how A is connected to B and B is connected to A, and how A is connected to C, showing all the different, really making clear how it's all part of one beautiful portrait, or one beautiful bouquet of flowers, or a beautiful orchestra. But each section is also an entity which a person can try to understand and think into, and try to draw all the healthy conclusions that we can draw from each section.
Thank you.
Sure. Anyone else, please?
I actually had an important phone call during part of the shir. Is there a place or somehow that I could get to hear the recording of this shir?
Definitely. My assistant, Yossi, will send out the shir, usually via WhatsApp, to all those that want to be included, definitely.
I don't use WhatsApp for privacy purposes. Is there another way I could get it?
Via email, definitely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Wishing everyone a wonderful holiday. We should be zecher to prepare for the holiday the right way and to experience, to get all the benefits of this incredible holiday when Hashem showed miracles, awesome miracles to the Jewish nation. And Hashem should show all of us the miracles, the kindness that all of us need now.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi.
Sure. All the best.
Thank you, Rabbi Mark.